The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Guys, welcome back to another episode of Bachelors in the City. We appreciate you so much. We have some exciting things to talk about today, don't we, Petey?
Exciting things? D-Man 43, exciting things. And how dare you not refer to me as Popeye for this most amazing episode of heading deep, deep, deep into the pit.
Let's go. We're super
excited. We're
going
back, guys.
Let's do this. We're going back.
We got Pace Case. We got Bachelor Clues with us today. And we couldn't get enough of that first episode with them a couple weeks back. So we had to have them come back on the pod. Season 17, we're talking Paradise. We're talking a whole bunch of stuff.
We're talking all the shit, game plans, nitty gritty. We're in it to win it.
All the plays.
We're talking
heard it followers. From D-Man 43.
We're talking about game plays. And I think I said that twice.
Guys, so if you will, without any further ado, please take our hands and come with us into the pit.
Shall we bow for the games of roses?
What?
I don't know.
Well, guys, we have Bachelor Clues and Pace Case back with us. Game of Roses. We're going straight into the pit. What's going on, guys?
Hello. Thank you for having us back.
Of course.
This time in full merch.
Full merch. For all you guys that can't see, we gotta let them know we're doing our so Dusty and I, we put on our Hooju shirts. So you guys gotta pick these shirts up. Pretty badass. We love the Hooju.
Well, you can no longer pick them up. Unfortunately, they are closed. No. They are gone for all time. You're wearing collector's items.
Wow. Limited
edition.
This moment. You can sell these for a lot
limited
of money.
Limited edition. Oh yeah. Man. I already
there you go.
It
put it
once.
On eBay.
I could have okay. hung up. Shit.
Well, sweet. Well, welcome
back,
guys.
Thanks for having us back. Last time was awesome.
Yes.
Can we go ahead and agree that this needs to be mandatory. At least once a month, right? To follow up on right? At least once a month, this needs to be mandatory.
Oh, you're in the pit now.
We're in the pit, Dusty.
5 days a week?
I love the pit.
I haven't seen really PP anymore. It's been Popeye and I'm feeling good about it. We have to introduce Dusty's got a new name. You guys need to start spreading, right?
D-Man 43.
I can't believe you remember that so easy.
D-Man 43.
D-Man 43.
He remembers everything.
D-Man 43. That's the MSN messenger name. Good times.
Yeah, you guys got to check out the episode we just did on Game of Roses. You guys will understand a little bit more backstory there. But anyways, moving forward, I thought we could... Last time we guys had you on, we chatted about, as you guys call it, our rookie season on The Bachelorette with Hannah Brown. Thought we could chat a little bit about season 17 now that just wrapped up with Katie and a little bit of Paradise down in Mexico that's started to take off.
Let's get it. We're happy to talk about it.
Still waiting to see if you show up 17 on the beach.
Hey, you know what's weird? It's so weird.
No spoilers.
Seeing like, you're right. No, but this is like... We'll see. And wink, wink, if either one of us do. But seeing like my name keeps saying under like Peter season, it's so weird to like watch. Like I was, you know, for that part, I wasn't part of. It's very odd. But anyways, I digress. Well, I guess, so moving into season 17 here is third. I don't even know what season it's been, where it's been in a locked location, locked resort. There's been no travel. I'm curious from your guys' perspective, what has been your favorite location that the Bachelor or Bachelorette has been recorded in? Do you like travel, on location, locked in a resort? What's better and why?
I think Clues and I have a very similar take on the bubble seasons, which is that we miss the travel, which is maybe not indicative of how the relationships are going to go, because we've had four bubble seasons at this point. Matt James, Claire, Tayshia, and Katie Thurston. And all four of those people are with their ring winners now. So maybe the bubble is better for love.
Whoa.
Even if it doesn't look as good on camera.
Wait, you're so right.
We're 4-for-4 right now, right? Wow.
Yeah.
Everyone. Wow. I didn't even think about that.
And we think, our theory is basically that producers are able to potentially use the travel, everything that goes along with it, not only the spectacle of it and the entertainment of it, but the process of it. You all have to get on a plane now. Do you all have your passports? Here's the hotel you're staying in. It allows them an element of control over players and kind of the ability to just like keep you busy constantly to a degree that you can't really settle into the relationship. The process of like traveling and the event of it kind of overwhelms you in a way that makes the relationship building harder, is what we think. Whereas in these bubble seasons, like no one's going anywhere. You're staring at the same four fucking walls for 2 months or whatever. And you're like let out of the cage every once in a while. And all you're doing is thinking about when is the next time I can see this person. And I think that person too, the leads similarly, are not getting swept up in the whirlwind of like, oh, we're going to Paris, we're going to Australia, whatever. They're just like wondering really about the people they're dating and trying, I think, to focus in on it more, focus in on the relationships more, you know?
Yeah, that's brilliant. You guys are spot on with that. I didn't really even think about that. But now that I do, yeah, there's so much exhaustion too that comes from the travel aspect of it and the time changes. And then also the distraction of just being able to do really cool ass shit, you know, on whatever location that you're on does, I think, take away a little bit from being able to fully invest in that relationship. And obviously, yeah, a lot of the dates haven't really been these adrenaline rush or crazy, you know, extravagant dates or whatnot. But I think, yeah, that's probably helping the people that are, you know, in this process actually come together for the quote unquote right reasons. Interesting.
Yeah, it could make a huge difference.
Yeah, you might let a relationship play out because you're like, well, I'll go hang out with Chrissy because they've already got the hot air balloon set up. Like, I can't really break up with her until we at least go up in the hot air balloon.
Yeah, exactly. So, you don't want to miss out on the hot air balloons.
Same thing for the players. Like if you look at what happened in Katie Thurston's season at the end, you had two massive front runners in Greg Grippo and Michael Aulio, both self-eliminated in the playoff rounds. And if you're in a situation where it's like, you're not just going to be sitting in the same resort out in the desert, you're now going to be going around the world, you might be a little more inclined to stick it out for another week. But in this case, it's like there's no benefit as a player to sticking out those last few weeks if you don't really want to be there.
Hence, I mean, example A. Like I was like, I don't know if I'm into it. I'll stay around and
D-man,
see what happens,
you let me down, man. I'm disappointed in you, D-man.
Oh man. Let's talk about this. Chad had called it when Blake walked in and said that he was gonna be the winner. Looking back and thinking about it, Lizzie, how do you feel about that?
I will say, Chad, he makes a lot of predictions, and we don't bring up the predictions that were maybe less accurate.
Wait, you got to bring it up here.
He's loving us.
I mean, he said Blake Woods would for sure be the next Bachelor, and it doesn't seem like that's maybe going to happen.
I was close to that, though. I think ring winner is just like one step removed, and that prediction was made off just looking at his Instagram before he even showed up in Bachelorette Season 16.
Okay.
You famously predicted that Claire and Dale would get married mid-season.
I think they're getting married, though.
Are they married? I heard they were married.
Yeah, they did a secret marriage
this week. It's post-season.
I saw his ring.
Wait, I'm I love that saying. For them.
Yeah, they did a secret really wedding, supposedly,
we
gotta
hit
this
up.
Week. Look, I've been a little far off in the time in some regard with some of these predictions, but I'm not that far off. I've never made like a wildly inaccurate prediction. They're all within the ballpark. And some of them, like Dale Moss winning the whole season, just from looking at his Instagram, that was dead on the money.
That's
impressive.
You predicted
Matt James would be the first Black Bachelor when he was cast on Claire's season.
Yeah, during quarantine crew era.
Holy shit,
I've made some good predictions. Yeah.
We need to go to the casino, my friend. like you might be my lucky guy.
Yeah, you know your stuff. Hey, everyone needs to get this book ASAP. Yeah. It's thinking about going on the show because this guy knows what he's talking about. with Blake, so you called it. Okay, he shows up. I don't know if I don't think I would have predicted. I didn't predict at that point. I think I was pretty sold after seeing their first date and just that chemistry, initial chemistry they had. But man, honestly, thank God for Blake though, because I felt bad. I felt honestly really bad for Katie. Like she had, if Blake wouldn't have been there, who would it have been? If he wouldn't have come in mid-season, because everyone.
Maybe Greg would have stayed though. You never know.
Oh, you're right. Mm. You're right.
Who did you think would win?
I think Greg. From the very beginning, right? Was my prediction. Yeah. I kind of switched a little bit, but I think, it was Greg and then I went to Blake right after I saw Blake's first one-on-one. We hung out with, we met Greg and Justin and
all
Andrew.
Bunch of nerds.
And
big,
all the guys.
Big group of nerds, those guys.
Nerds? I love them.
Nerds? Big what kind of nerds are they? What's their nerdy?
Just some play Pokemon Go.
Nerds.
They're just so funny, man. They're just
real dudes. They're
no goofy, just nerdy guys. They're just great guys.
Yeah, all around good dudes.
I'm surprised you recognized Justin. He was basically cut out of the season.
I know, right?
Yeah, so they did him very dirty in that edit. Like we'd never seen a runner-up that has basically disappeared from the show.
That's crazy.
That was crazy. We got a question here. So wonderful producer Emma asking a question: who can chug beer fastest out of all the guys? So we went to with the guys to this German. What do you call it? Just German bar where they sell like bratwurst and beer. And we had like the boot and we all did a competition.
A beer garden?
A beer garden. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. And I will say Greg can't chug a beer. And you can. But Greg literally, I almost threw up. This is the time I almost threw up in Greg's face. The first day I met him. We're all like super competitive to start doing this. We take the beer, we start chugging. We're all going for it. Like we are committed and we were sold. Apparently Greg didn't think that we were that committed. And so he immediately just like two sips in, like takes it and just points to me like, what the hell are you doing right now? Like that's way too aggressive. And then that prompts me to stop because I'm literally about to laugh and everything's about to come up and throw up right in his face as he's doing that to me. And then we look to the right and we just see Clay and Andrew freaking going for it. And I think Andrew actually was the fastest. He dominated that competition, but
he lives in Austria, right? I would think he would have an advantage.
Yeah. And his cousin's Clay Harbor. Clay's always trying to chug.
That's the biggest
chugging
advantage.
Boots full of beer.
Always chugging.
How do you guys set that up? Like, how did you guys first meet those guys? Is there something in the Bachelor world where, like, if you've been in the show, you just DM each other and you're like, "Hey, let's hang out. Let's get together."
Well, me and Clay, I lived in Chicago before New York, and me and Clay had met right before I went on the show. And me and him started hanging out when I got off the show and became really good buddies, hanging out all the time and started hanging out with his cousin, Andrew, which great guy. And later down the road, I referred him. I gave his name to one of the producers and boom, he was on there. So we just stay in contact.
Oh,
and
wow.
Of course, like Andrew's friends with Justin and Greg and we just all, they were all in New York and we're all hanging out.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was a fun time though. Great
nice
guys.
Opportunity. Speaking of Andrew, though, what did you guys think about his note that he left Katie and then kind of reject her?
Was this your guys' play of the game for that week?
Oh, Jesus, was it?
Ooh, I can check that.
I'm not sure if it was, but it was an interesting play. I will say this. We, preach against self-eliminations all the time because if you're going to leave the game, that's fine. You can have that in your mind, but you can always get more screen time or very usually you can. So self-eliminating, we always kind of frown upon. Mm-hmm. The way he did it though, was actually about the best way you can do it. And when she comes back to him, after he gives her the note, which by the way is obviously handwritten by producers, and we wondered like, does he even know what that says? Did they just send him in there with a card and like, hand this to her, tell her you're leaving and see what happens?
But she comes and chases him and he has no idea.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, what did that fucking card say? Oh my God. She proposes to him. He's like, what are you guys doing?
That's hilarious.
But no, I mean, I think he was taking basically a 4TRR for the right reason strategy when he then rebuffed her asking him if he wants to come back into the show because he's like, you know, I would love to, but I don't want to be one of like however many guys are left. I want you to choose me. So he was kind of taking this 4TR high road that actually was a good strategy to get out of her coming to get him back, I thought. And, you know, he seemed to have gotten out of the whole thing pretty cleanly. And that's tough to do. The longer you're in the game, the more likely it is some bad's going to happen and people are going to be mad at whatever you've done. And it's like, he got out pretty cleanly. He played a solid season, like top to bottom. He had some of the best one-on-one dates that really even existed that season. And I hope we get to see some more of him doing interesting stuff, you know?
I looked at the data. I did give him my play of the game for this.
Did you?
Boom. Look at that.
Yeah. His resurrect, what we call a resurrection when you come back after you've been eliminated. He had that barefoot. Katie's running barefoot. That was a great cinematic moment. He got a hooju post-mortem.
Yeah.
It was a rom-com movie, it felt like.
Totally.
Yes.
I don't know. I thought it was great. It was, he told me also, I called him out on that. I was like, what was that? What's going on with that? He's like, well, it was a note for like afterwards, like after everything's said and done, we can try it over or whatnot. But I'm like, yeah, okay. What'd you guys think of
Michael Lett and his exit? You said you don't like self-eliminations. Did you guys buy it or what was your impression of that? Because Dusty
That's
brought up a point that I actually started to agree with. I don't know if you want to just a quick like rundown,
yeah.
Dusty.
So,
yeah, what's your take?
So like you said, it's never a good look when you self-eliminate, right? And saying you get this far and maybe you're not feeling her too much and you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to go through this anymore. You don't want to seem like the asshole, you know. He had every right to like to use that his child as an excuse and no one would ever question him. If he just wasn't maybe feeling Katie, he's like, oh, I don't know, but I'm just going to kind of blame him.
And the only reason that I kind of bought onto that idea was because hometowns were coming up. So the time left to be away from his son was actually going to be very little amount of time. So I didn't think that way until Dusty brought it up. But after he did, I'm like, maybe you're right. Because you could never be, you know, shamed for that reason because it's such a valid reason.
We call it a package deal when a player comes in and they have kids. And it's kind of this double-edged sword because the lead has this baked-in reason to let you go. Because they're like, if I don't see this going far, I want to let you go as soon as possible because you should have time with your kid. But all your self-elimination, by saying he doesn't want to be away from his kid, he's eliminating any chance that he's going to be on Bachelor in Paradise because there's never going to be children on that. Mm-hmm. He's leaving the door open to have like a Jason Mesnick style season where they had his kid like on the campus, essentially. Yeah. So like, that door was open, but it's hard for me to find the situation where self-eliminating is the way to go. Never can recommend it.
Yeah. And there's also been some conjecture about Franken biting his kid. There's been a little bit of analysis done about when he's FaceTiming with his kid and the kid says, Daddy, don't want to see me no more. That seems to have been Franken bited together. So we're not even exactly sure if that conversation was, at least in the way it was presented, if it was really like that. Certainly, Alio then uses that as the excuse to self-eliminate. But I just don't know how much of that is real. And I agree with you that I think he was probably more like, I'm not marrying her. Like, I don't want to get in a position where I have to fake propose to her or even be looking at the diamond rings with Neil Lane or whoever's going to be presenting them. In that case, it was Tayshia that season. But
that's right, yeah.
I think he probably used it as an excuse to exit cleanly. Because like you're saying, absolutely.
Dusty, you called
cannot
this.
Fault the man for that.
Damn, no Dusty, you are him. In
no
the
No one's going to question him, except for me. But hey.
Who's been the error of the week?
Yeah.
This play.
Oh, man. I guess speaking on these guys, we've already talked on them. So let's just get down to it. Who's going to be the next Bachelor?
The next crown, Dusty. The next crown.
Right. I personally think it is. I think this is just my thoughts from what I'm seeing on the internet.
Like, it's Blake Moynes.
It's gonna be it's Blake Moynes. He's going to make my prediction come true. No, I think it's likely going to be Greg Grippo, and I know that he's a controversial figure right now because of how he handled his self-elimination. And people are not going to be happy with that. Some people are not. But I feel like from everything I'm reading and everything that seems to be positioning itself in the Bachelor world, it seems like it'll be him. I have heard some talk that it might be Connor Brennan, the cat man.
Really? Maybe. I haven't heard that.
Yeah. Okay. That he's going to have some kind of a long run through paradise and he'll get a heartbreak at it and maybe come out as the de facto crown. I've also heard Grocery Store Joe. I think those are probably your three most likely candidates with an outside shot of Mike Johnson. I see his name popping up every once in a while and I'm like, really? Like if they did that, fucking, I think they should do that. Like that would be of the guys whose names are kind of being bandied around. I think he's the best. Bachelor Nation has wanted him for fucking years at this point. It has always felt like he deserved it and he's never fucking gotten it. It's been passed over again and again and again. I think if they gave it to him, that would be a very good season. Huge ratings.
I agree with that. I think Mike would be an excellent, excellent crown. I mean, I think, yeah, that's a testament to him too. Still being talked about, you know, a couple seasons down the line with some other great guys that have come through. Do you think, coming back with Greg, do you think it was a bad edit? Or do you think, like, what are your takes on that with his exit?
Lizzie, you want to handle this one or you want me? I mean, I'll tell you what I think. I think he actually got a very good edit. They put hero music under him when he was going to her door to do that knock knock. I think they tried to position him to be a kind of victim in that situation because I think at least during the time of airing this season, of constructing whatever narratives they're trying to build, I think they wanted him to be the Bachelor. I think his play, the way he handled that situation, was not good. And so when they air it, despite giving him what I perceive to be a pretty good edit, obviously the fourth audience, Bachelor Nation, is not on board with Greg Grippo at that moment. And so now they're having to rethink and like, oh shit, maybe he's not the Bachelor. And that I think also is why they haven't announced it at this point, is because they're still trying to figure out like, we want him to be the Bachelor. Can we really do this? And if the answer is no, they got to figure out who they're going to put in that slot instead.
Yeah, I can see that. Having gone through the experience, obviously editing is a huge part of the game. And until you actually meet someone, you know, in person, it's, you can have some preconceived notions or whatnot. But after meeting Greg in person, I actually was a big fan of him and I could see him, you know, being the next Bachelor. And I think he'd actually do a really good job of it.
He had the biggest Instagram gains other than Moines. So there's a huge
swelling
of
support. Biggest they used to be, right? The followings aren't as big as they used to be.
Well, this is something that we talk about on our show. I mean, we cover like the ratings of every episode. And Katie Thurston's season had the lowest ratings in modern history of any season, Bachelor or Bachelorette. And I don't know if that contributes to lack of Instagram growth, but certainly in other, I mean, on your season, season 15, your guys' rookie season, you had Tyler Cameron walking out of there with 2 million followers. That's not happening. That's not even close
to happening. Close now, yeah. I wonder why, yeah, what's caused that drop off.
And you had like a million too. And when Hannah Brown blew up, we had a lot of people actually blow up over like 500. Connor, Mike, there was like a lot of people that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. You guys think any chance for, I know Tyler said he's not interested in it. You don't think there's any chance he takes the next,
We have said that we think the best way to get the ratings back up would be a Tyler Cameron season. Just pay him.
Oh my God. You just got to throw
basically
100%.
Yeah. Cause that is a story that the nation, the forums, they don't seem to be letting go. Tyler Cameron, Hannah Brown discussions. But apparently
trying to get
he's
them together?
Filming a, no, but just they want to know what he's up to still.
Oh, know? Right.
I mean, they were shipping it hard during the quarantine crew, et cetera. But we have heard that he has done some dancing show that might preclude him. So we shall see. I think Andrew Spencer would do a great job as well from that season. I thought he was extremely charismatic. Yeah, very curious what they're going to do.
We'll see.
Do you know?
I'm going for Andrew all day. I hope it's Andrew. We'll see.
We don't know, but they have to I mean, we have a couple of days before they have to know or announce this because, you know, right. it's probably filming.
They got to start shooting.
September. Exactly. They got to start doing wardrobe, and that takes a while.
Hope this episode ages well.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If they asked you, Peter, to come back and do a Council of Crowns, which is where the incoming new bachelor, usually in the first week, sits down with an old bachelor, and that bachelor gives them some advice about what to do on night one or whatever, if they asked you to come back and do that, would you do that?
Huh. Yeah. I mean, if it was with someone that I knew, 100%. Yeah. Like Mike or
somebody like Greg
or Andrew. Yeah, 100%. I wouldn't be opposed to that. I'd be curious to see how much they'd actually air from what I was saying, like advice wise. But because I'd be brutally honest.
Yeah. But you're like, leave the show now. Like, I have one bit of advice for you. Bail out.
No, I
get out.
Yeah, I would be very, very honest. You know, just that's why I'd be going on there too. I mean, I've already kind of talked, you know, with some of them. Just naturally, I've done that. I did that with Matt coming on after me. So for sure, I obviously didn't air any of that. That was just a private conversation. But all about looking out for the next guy, because it's a very, very unique, tough situation to go through.
Yeah, that's actually pretty fascinating. It's like incoming presidents where they have that conversation with the incoming president. The outgoing one is like, look, here's how this works. You have
Should
to keep
like
all
that
the
book
alien
of secrets
shit secret.
And
yeah,
out.
Exactly. Exactly. You know? That's interesting. I know that there's a thing for bachelorettes that they do have a book that they give to each other where they all have kind of written down their takeaways. Not all of them. There's like some that have not been in that loop, but they've talked about it.
Maybe I'll start that. I'll start a book coming from the pit or something like that and write down my thoughts and then like hit up a bunch of previous bachelors and see if they want to contribute.
Dude,
and
that would be
just
so
keep passing
cool.
it down.
That would
we'll
be so
come
I think
cool
it would
name.
Be really helpful. I think you have a lot of wisdom about the show at this point.
Oh, for sure. I got a lot of stuff I could pass down, but interesting take. Paradise. So interesting take there. You guys said that you could possibly see Connor the cat from Katie's season getting a good... I did hear that. I've heard that he or someone, not him specifically, someone's going to get... I think was it Wells or something, said something about one guy is going to have a very favorable edit and is going to get a lot of traction here. But I'm just curious when this happens because again, they have to know, this has to be announced very soon here. So
yes.
It has to be probably a guy that's already on that's not coming on in you know future episodes. So maybe it is Connor.
They love Connor. He had a great like edit in the final rows or the right the final rows. They just love him. He got so much screen time.
Or the mental all.
Or the mental all.
When he made out with the audience.
Made out with a girl. Played a song.
They hired an actress to come in and prove that he's a good kisser. It's like, how much better does it get than that? The one thing that in your season was kind of your negative. The reason you get kicked off is like you have a bad chemistry game. They're like, let's reverse that immediately. Hire someone to come on the show. She's going to make out with him publicly and we're going to put that rumor to bed. I think the only reason you do that is if he's in the running for a possible bachelor crown.
Interesting.
And they let him
take.
Give out a rose. He took a rose from the table and handed it to her.
Getting some practice in there.
I wonder if he's related to someone behind the scenes because they really like
him. He's got someone in his corner, but I mean, yeah, I don't think he'd be my first choice, but we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of Demi stirring the pot there in Paradise?
Oh my God,
I love Demi.
That intro video.
I love Demi.
Yes. She's one of
Demi's
the best,
so fun
like most charismatic players of all time, bar none. There's a reason that after her rookie season, they brought her back two other times on two other seasons. Or they brought
her
back
my
twice.
Season, yeah.
Yeah, they brought her back twice
as
in Hannah
spy,
Brown's season.
The pillow fight.
The pillow fight on your season.
Oh,
they brought her into two
right.
paradises. Like, they keep her around because she is entertaining, period.
100%.
She's entertaining again.
I'm surprised. I wonder why they never, or maybe they did, approach her for possibly hosting. Do you think she could do that? I mean, I think she's so freaking charismatic. And
I don't think so. Did you see her when she was on WWE Raw?
You want to go on the boom, boom room.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
off the bat to everyone.
She did some pro wrestling stuff, cut like a few promos and things. And it was lacking. I think when she is given a script of any kind, I think it's difficult for her. I think her strength lies in just being able to be off the cuff, completely spontaneous, improv everything. And that's when she's like at
kind
her
of unpredictable. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, I'll watch her do literally anything because she is just so goddamn entertaining. And, you know, they set her up a little bit with this Brendan thing in the beginning. That's like, is he talking to Piper? All this kind of whatever is going on. And she has to navigate that. But I thought she handled it pretty well. And then obviously at the end of the first Paradise Rose ceremony, James Bonsall, the producers tell him, you're giving Demi your rose, goddammit. And he does as they say. And so she's going to be around. Yes, I do think that happened.
I honestly felt bad for, we're just catching up on the episode here. I felt bad for Kelsey. Kelsey is someone that truly, I mean, obviously I know her, you know, a little bit, and she's the real deal. She truly wants to find that guy. And I'm not saying it was James, but I was bummed out for her that she didn't get a longer stretch there, possibly to have some other guys possibly totally. Come on the beach and have something.
I also can't imagine like what it's like for anybody who's gone through the bachelor dating world, especially if you've hit it multiple times, like Kelsey just did. Once you're kind of in that pool, you guys all share this very similar experience that's completely unique. And only really you can understand it. So if you then have to go out into the real world and date regular people, it's like the first thing you're going to have to talk about is this. And mm-hmm. you're going to have to be like, yeah, it was crazy, but that's behind me or whatever the case may be. And so anytime you get the opportunity to come back into that pool and maybe potentially start dating somebody through that process, I imagine that has to be at least in the mind of a player. You have to think like, shit, this could really be it. Because dating somebody out of the pool, I think, is a benefit once you're in it. At least, again, in terms of understanding what that experience is like, especially one that's played such an important role in your life when you're at kind of young formative ages and you're just in that period in your life when you're really looking for somebody, so you're taking dating seriously. It's got to be a difficult, weird thing to navigate. But I agree with you. I wanted to see her stick around. She's one of my favorite players of all time simply because of her hooju prowess. If nothing else.
Oh, the hooju.
I think she should have done the preseason work, you know, be in the DMs, lock down some contracts with some people.
That doesn't happen. What are you talking about?
Shit, that doesn't happen. Blake Moynes made it a career.
I'm watching then.
Blake Moynes DM'd, by his own admission in the document, he DM'd Claire Crawley, or she said that he DM'd her and then she didn't reply back. And he DM'd Katie Thurston. That's how he's doing it.
Mm-hmm. Professional. It worked. Is there anything wrong with that? Is that weird or is it just that's probably a good play, right? Good strategy.
I think Kelsey should
have
done
to do it now. Yeah.
Okay.
You have to be doing it. DM as soon as possible, establish early relationships, especially if you're going into paradise.
Flirting.
Not even flirting. I think you just come out and say, like, hey, if you're gonna be on paradise, here's what we should do. You and me, partner up. Maybe there's a romantic spark. Maybe there's not, but we can fake it and we're going to ride this out. We're going to get 10 episodes of screen time. We're going to walk out of here with 1 million followers apiece and then whatever happens, happens. But like, let's do this. I think that's the only strategy going into paradise.
Interesting. Okay, well.
Do you think that these couples are meeting organically on the first episode?
For the first time? No. Well.
Dusty, what do you think?
I think a lot of them have met already.
I think it's tough to how can you not?
Right? I don't think it's as business formal as, you know, Chet says, but I think people are like, in my opinion, probably flirting, talking a little bit. Hey, you're going to be on there, just showing interest. and kind of saying without saying, like, you know, I don't know. Pretty much not saying what he said, but saying it in your head. I don't know. Yeah.
You I think with social media now, it's just too prevalent. Everyone, it's true. You kind of you get into this Bachelor Nation kind of fraternity almost, and it's, you know, you're now connected, and you guys hang out now. There's groups that come to LA or New York or Nashville or whatnot. So I think it's probably, I mean, maybe not. Maybe it's not a producer's, you know, nightmare or whatnot, because it can cause drama to play out then on the beach from prior encounters. But yeah, I don't, I guess maybe in previous seasons, maybe this, it wasn't happening as much. I honestly don't even know if it did happen this season, but
it definitely wasn't like this season in Paradise. It was night one. There were like 10 couples immediately. People were making out, they were pairing off, and it's like, they all talk to each other. There's absolutely no way that's happening when you're just like meeting a person and then you're like, well, I'm going to give you every rose. This is it. Let's ride this out. Like, they all talk to each other, I would assume. That's what it looks like from an outsider's perspective. But I've seen every season of Bachelor in Paradise. And like, this has never happened before. This is some real new shit. And I think moving forward, like, it's all you're going to see. Exactly for the reason you're saying. Once you get into that fraternity or sorority or whatever, what is
I don't know, all gender group, sexes,
whatever it is, you know, I don't know. But once you get into it, it's also like, you're not just going to hang out with people. You're getting involved in SpawnCon deals with them. You can get group SpawnCon packages to like all promote the same thing, or when you're all in the same city or whatever, you know? It's a business, you know?
Pace Case, got a question for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who would you rather kiss? Ooh. Trey or his uncle?
I'm surprised you're thinking about it so hard.
Definitely Trey.
Definitely Trey.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Have you not seen the uncle?
There.
I haven't seen his uncle play, and I've seen Trey play, and he's pretty good. You know,
he did
a little callback to his limo exit in his Paradise intro. I respect that. I love he's linking up with Taj, who's hilarious.
You think they're going to end up together? They seem cute together. That's a no.
I hope so. I feel like they let her get involved in a little rivalry thing. Like, there's certain edits that they give to like the front runner couples who are going to go all the way. I think we're seeing that from Ivan and Jesenia. We're seeing like that very serious dinner conversation versus Taj. They're still giving her this, she's too sweaty edit. She's fighting with Victoria L, et cetera. But yeah. I would love to see it. I think I'm a fan of both of them. Who would you rather kiss?
I don't know. It's a tough
one.
Was
Trey's uncle the right answer?
No, there was no right answer. And I'm just curious. I saw probably blew up. So I was begging to ask you that since we started this podcast.
Do you thinking about like them sticking it out and being together, do you think anyone's going to get engaged and stay together this season? Predictions. Just curious. I mean, we already might hear about some people getting engaged, but do we think they're really going to stick it out and get married?
I am completely spoiler free.
I am too.
So I don't know.
Same.
I will just say, before you guys answer, I really do think that if there is a time, this works, I think, better than the traditional Bachelor or Bachelorette. Being able to actually spend that much quality time with someone, whenever, like, if you want to hang out with them all day, from what I've heard from friends that have been there, you can do it. You don't get that luxury on the other, you know, format of the show. So if it's going to work, I think Paradise is a good avenue for that.
Yeah. What are the estimates for how long the Bachelor spends with his ring winner? It's like 24 total hours or something.
Maybe, yeah, around there, consecutive. Yeah. And then a big part of that's fantasy suite, so.
Right.
I could see Kufrin with whoever she
I was going to ask that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do we feel about, because I'm not going to lie, was considering, you know, was thinking about it. And but I was like, I don't know how like that, if I think I'm too you know, recent with exes or whatnot. But how do we feel like a prior lead is going to navigate Paradise? What's that dynamic going to be like?
This is the first time we've ever seen it.
I think they're going to dominate.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think she's going to, as soon as her toes touch sand, all eyes will snap to her and be like, oh shit. Because there is, at least, again, from a layman's viewpoint watching it, there is a hierarchy to who comes onto that beach. And as soon as like the big fish shows up, everybody kind of drops who they're with. I don't know if that's going to happen exactly because, again, I think a lot of these players are like partnered up preseason and they're going to write out those strategies. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a strong strategy. That really is the only Paradise strategy. Come in, lock up early and ride it out. But I think, you know, Becca Kufrin is one of only three players in Bachelor history to win the ring and the crown. It's her, Jen Scheft, and Emily Maynard. She is now the only player in history to win the ring, the crown, and show up in Paradise, which we're calling we call the first one winning the ring and the crown a full royale. We're now calling what she's done a tropical royale. But I think she's going to be the star of the show as soon as she arrives. Because we're already seeing things, at least in the editing, like in episode one, they set up Grocery Store Joe to be the main character of the season. In episode two, he has one line of dialogue. They're already kind of doing weird things in their edit to like halt certain narratives, which I don't quite understand why they're doing that. But I think Becca Kufrin is going to become the primary narrative of Paradise once she arrives.
Watch. It'd be crazy if she actually leaves engaged. That'd be ring winner, crown, and tropical whatever. What'd you call it?
Tropical ring winner. I don't know. we don't have a name for that. But yeah, I mean, I don't think she comes into the show frivolously, for sure.
Yeah.
Because she has the most to lose of anyone. And if they want to give her a bad edit or whatever. I don't think they will, though, because she's super beloved within Bachelor Nation. Yeah. She's the host of their official Bachelor podcast. I don't think they're going to try and sabotage her in any way. And I totally can see her walking away from this engaged.
Yeah, I feel like everyone that works for ABC podcast will get a good edit.
Joe. Yeah. Joe's half with them, Natasha. Yeah, there's so many.
It's like half the, like, they're, yeah, I don't know.
That's true.
It is. That is an interesting element.
Natasha Parker and Grocery Store Joe literally fucking work together every week. Like, they make a podcast every week.
Yeah.
We don't see them really talking to each other. Certainly not talking about that. But like, these two people know each other extremely well. And that's not playing any part in any of this. It's very weird. There's this season to me feels more than any other one. Like, people are really acting a lot in all of these different ways. Pretending they don't know each other as well as they do, or pretending to maybe not have met somebody that they've met prior to the show. That's just the impression that I get. I don't know if it's true, but that is what it feels like.
I hate that.
Popeye, how do you feel watching the people from your season competing?
Ooh, well, listen, I would love for all of them to, you know, find someone there. I would say the closest one that I felt closest to, you know, definitely was Kelsey, and, you know, being able to hang out with Kelsey too a little bit while, you know, I was still with Kelly. You know, she just, I think, the world of her. So I was, again, like I said, I was bummed that she didn't, wasn't there a little bit longer. Thought it was interesting with Victoria P. I don't know quite know what she was thinking. why she did that. especially, yeah, if like people do know, like, you know, she's got friends from Nashville too. If everyone kind of knows what's going on, like, you got to know that that's going to be brought up. Like, there's no, I just don't get why you would go on the show dating someone else. Like, especially, like, she's been on it before, you know, people like, yes.
And if
done
you
it
do, get your game right. She kept on forgetting poor James's name. Like, get his name right.
Prepare your defense.
If you have an accusation like that levied against you, there's, in my opinion, your best strategy, like what she should have done, is just say, yeah, of course I was dating a guy before I came on the show. And now I'm here to get Instagram followers. And as are we all, you know?
Well, but that's why I was confused though, because in her exit limo or in the car ride, she like alluded to that and like kind of gave that smirk. And I'm like, what? Like, I'm just missing something here. I wasn't quite following it.
I'm not a fan of hers. I haven't since your since she was on your episode.
She was a very strong player on your season too, though, until these allegations started surfacing about her knowing Aliyah Benavidez outside the show and lying about it and all this kind of stuff. But she was really a master at just on your season of just kind of dropping these little hints that would like start a blaze and she would disappear. She would like get other people to start getting in fights with each other and then just like ghost herself into the background. It was brilliant.
Believe me, I know. It was bad. Very, very, very confusing. That was weird.
Look,
going back to that.
I don't trust any edits at this point, so I don't know what is going on with that situation. I did think it was interesting that she played what we went through on your season. That she played an IFI where she at the football game. She played an IFI to not participate in that group date. She played an IFI when you went on the thing that spins you around.
Oh yeah, flight school.
At flight school. And then she did it again on Paradise where she's just like, I can't breathe. I need a moment. I was like, she's got a consistent play style, which I respect.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. Interesting take seeing girls from the season there. But I want to see who Tammy ends up. Like if she does, I think she'd probably be the girl I'm most curious about who she'd end up with. Because I don't know.
To me, the pairing with Aaron makes total sense because they're both like professional rivalry players and tattlers.
Tattlers.
Very fiery. Very fiery.
They are both tattletales. That's kind of actually funny.
I think Tammy, for me, is like getting one of the best edits. She was a very interesting player on your season for sure. But I really like what she's doing in Paradise here. And I think as a person, kind of as a persona within the Bachelor world, she's getting a little more screen time. We're getting to see her a little better, more than what we did on your season, obviously. So, hopefully she can continue to ride that out.
And I think she made a good call too, calling Victoria P out.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, it looks like we might get McKenna too.
Oh, McKenna, yes. I'm a big McKenna fan, so I'm excited to see her come on.
As are we, the face god. She had the best face player of any player of all time, in my opinion.
Got to get her and Justin together. That'd be...
Oh my God.
Could you imagine?
I would love to see a one-on-one date, just back and forth.
I know, one-on-one.
Be tennis.
I would... I mean, that's my ultimate dream. Are we speaking it into existence? Please.
Yes, manifest it.
Yes.
Manifest.
Well, guys, hopefully we see some beautiful love stories develop. A lot more to go. And we'll be seeing soon who the crown is. Hopefully announcement there. But next host, before we go, next host for Bachelor. Bachelor Clues. Pace Case, would you guys do it? You in?
Ooh. Yes, we'll do it 100%. Oh, yes. We'll do it for a cheaper rate than anyone they're already talking about. That's guaranteed. And I don't know if we'll do as good of a job as like a Caleb Bristow and a Tish Adams, but we'll give it our best shot. So let us know where to show up.
You guys would kill it. 100%. I honestly
Thank you.
Know so much, but it would be truly so insanely just entertaining and gravitating just to see you guys like walk a lead through that and call out plays and just do like have a completely different take, switch it all up, throw it on its head. But I think you guys would do a great job. So you have my vote.
Put us in as bartenders next season.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe we could start small and host like an obstacle course group date or something.
Okay. You guys got to wear the shirts though. Do you even hoodoo every time on camera? So
that could be our group date. We host a group date where we train people how to hoodoo.
The perfect hoodoo.
I love that.
All right, guys, we got some ideas here. I love it. Thank you guys so much for coming on again. It's always a pleasure talking to you guys. We love going to the pit with you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's our pleasure.
I always learn so much. So
once a month, guys. I think once a month. We got to make this happen. Once a month.
All right.
Step-by-step plays.
Game on. All right, guys. Thanks again. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much.
Bachelors in the City is hosted by me, Peter Weber.
And me, Dustin Kendrick. This podcast is produced by Red Rock Music and powered by Acast.
Our producer is Red Yoakum and our associate producer is Emma Martins.
Be sure to like and subscribe wherever you listen to the podcast. Send your voice memos to BTC@redrockmusic.com. That's BTC at REDDRockMusic.com for your chance to be featured on the show.
And of course, follow us on Instagram at Bachelors in the City Podcasts.
See you next week. Thanks for listening and sign up for our membership program to become an honorary third roommate.
Join now for $3 per month and enjoy the episodes ad-free.
Click the link in the episode description so you can move in.